content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Diane Edelman for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Reader's Digest. Today's program is supported by the Durham Lions Club. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and also from the Saturday Evening Post. Our first article from the Reader's Digest, the Healthy column, is Under Pressure. Hypertension is on the rise, and it's linked not only to heart disease, but also stroke and cognitive decline. By Nina Agrawal. In the United States, nearly half of adults have high blood pressure or hypertension. Known as a silent killer, the condition can contribute to heart attack, stroke, and heart failure without ever causing symptoms. Although it was once thought to affect mostly older people, research now shows that an increasing share of people ages 35 to 64 are dying of heart disease related to it. Hypertension matters so much because it's the most modifiable risk factor for cardiovascular disease, stroke, and now the evidence suggests this may be true for cognitive decline, says Eduardo Sanchez, MD, Chief Medical Officer for Prevention at the American Heart Association. Lifestyle changes and medication can help bring blood pressure down, which changes the trajectory very, very dramatically when it comes to heart attack and stroke, he says. Even simple steps can help get your blood pressure in check. It sounds obvious, but just knowing your blood pressure is a great place to start. More than half of people with uncontrolled hypertension aren't aware they have it, according to some estimates. Blood pressure, the force that blood exerts on your arterial walls, is measured in millimeters of mercury, mmHg. It is given in two numbers. The top number, systolic pressure, measures the force when blood is pumped out of your heart. The bottom number, diastolic pressure, measures the force between beats when your heart is filling with blood. Normal blood pressure is below 120 over 80 mmHg. Above that level, Dr. Sanchez says, damage begins to occur to blood vessels and the organs they supply, including the kidneys, heart, and brain. It's important to have your blood pressure checked at least annually, says Jennifer Cluett, MD, director of the Complex Hypertension Clinic at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. Make sure it's measured the right way, with the right size cuff, and when you are sitting with both feet flat on the floor, have your upper arms supported at heart level, and are not talking. The typical setting in a busy primary care clinic, where somebody's sitting on an exam table with their legs dangling and their arm not supported, while somebody is talking to them, is not the right way, Dr. Cluett says. Up to 30% of patients also may experience white coat hypertension, which is when blood pressure levels become elevated at the doctor's office. For this reason, blood pressure management guidelines recommend checking at home, too, to confirm a diagnosis and manage the condition. It's important to understand your personal risk. There can be many causes of hypertension, says Fatima Coronado, MD, Associate Director for Science in the Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. The condition develops over time as a result of both genetic and environmental factors, including smoking, excess weight, and poor sleep. People whose parent or grandparent suffered a heart attack or a stroke can be at increased genetic risk for high blood pressure, she says. Age influences risk because our arteries stiffen as we get older. Additionally, hypertension is more prevalent among men than women and more common among black people than among white, Latino, or Asian people, according to CDC data. Some women develop high blood pressure during pregnancy, which can be dangerous to the mother and the fetus. Martha Gulati, MD, director of the Davis Women's Heart Center at Houston Methodist Hospital, says the condition should be treated during pregnancy, and women should be followed by a cardiologist afterward because they are at an increased risk of high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease. Diet also plays a major role. You've heard it before. Eat healthy for your heart. Specifically, among 22 lifestyle changes and stress-reducing techniques for reducing blood pressure, the Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension Eating Plan was found to be the most effective, according to an analysis of more than 100 studies. One reason may be that it centers food rich in potassium, an electrolyte that helps your body get rid of sodium and that relaxes your artery walls. Sodium causes the body to retain water, increasing the fluid and the pressure inside blood vessels. Bananas aren't the only easy source of potassium. An avocado or one cup of diced cantaloupe contains even more of it than a medium banana, and citrus fruits like oranges are also rich in the electrolyte, as are leafy greens like spinach and Swiss chard. You can lower your blood pressure further by reducing your sodium intake, Dr. Gulati says. The American Heart Association recommends that people consume no more than 2,300 milligrams of sodium per day, and ideally, much less. In the United States, most of the sodium in people's diets comes from restaurant meals and processed foods. Cutting down on these foods, swapping a frozen dinner or a slice of pizza for the salad bar, for example, or making small changes in your food shopping can make a big difference. Look for low-sodium versions of sauces. Rinse canned beans and vegetables, which are often stored in salty water for preservation, before eating them. Alcohol intake is also associated with increased blood pressure. Doctors suggest aiming for total abstinence. The benefits of cutting back seem greatest for those who usually consume more than 2 drinks per day. Aerobic exercise, which strengthens your heart so it can pump with less effort, was the second most effective intervention after the DASH diet. Isometric resistance exercise, when you contract muscles and hold a position, such as a wall squat or a plank, was the third. Isometric exercise can help blood vessels dilate, which improves blood flow. Exercise also reduces stress, as can meditation, yoga, prayer, and other types of religious practice, says Dr. Sanchez. And while exercise is beneficial even if you don't lose weight, dropping excess pounds can also help reduce blood pressure, says Dr. Kluwit. The goal of treatment is to keep the blood pressure below 130 over 80 mmHg, though under 120 over 80 is even better. Often that requires medication. There are several effective generic options that doctors can prescribe. Patients may need to take multiple types, which doctors say can sometimes be a deterrent. Single-pill combinations that include two or more blood pressure medications in one tablet are easier to take. While some medications may cause side effects like frequent urination or leg swelling, doctors can tweak drug regimens to mitigate those. Even if you're on medication, changes to your diet and exercise can still help and could lower your odds of all sorts of negative health outcomes. As Dr. Kluwit puts it, lifestyle changes help more than just your blood pressure number. And that was Under Pressure by Nina Agrawal. And now we will turn to the Saturday Evening Post Survivor Stories. A leukemia survivor uses the power of books to inspire kids fighting their own battles with cancer, by Ken Budd. Melody Lomboy Lowe was 6 years old when she planned her own funeral. She chose the clothes she would wear. She decided which toys would go to which friends. A passionate swimmer, she requested a funeral plot overlooking a pool. Lomboy Lowe had been diagnosed with leukemia, and in 1983, treatment options were limited. Doctors gave her a 50% chance of survival. planning her funeral, she says now, was like occupational therapy. It was good for me, she says. I was in charge of something. I had control over one thing, and that was it. The funeral never happened. Lomboit Lo survived, and she now helps other children fighting their own cancer battles. Since 2020, she and her 36-year-old niece, Gracelyn Bateman, have run the Los Angeles-based Luna Peak Foundation, lunapeakfoundation.org, to publish books for kids and their families on cancer and grief, and to provide inspiration, hope, and support. Luna Peak has donated over 4,000 books to families, hospitals, palliative care and hospice centers, therapist offices, schools, and universities. This includes workbooks and children's books, such as Follow Me, Cancer Free, based on Lomboit Lo's own childhood experiences, and Sean's Best Week at Camp Luna Peak, inspired by a fellow cancer patient who died as a boy. I created the books I wish I'd had when I was a child, Lomboit Lo says. In Follow Me, Cancer Free, you finish treatment and everybody's happy. But not every kid that gets a diagnosis is going to be cancer-free. So that's why we wrote Sean's Best Week. Her cancer journey began in Sierra Madre, California. The youngest of six kids, she loved swimming, but began suffering nosebleeds when she'd exit the pool. On her first day of first grade, her mother was brushing her hair and made a discovery. Her lymph nodes were swollen. By that afternoon, the swelling had doubled. The family's pediatrician seemed unconcerned, but her worried mom insisted on tests. A bone marrow aspiration and spinal tap found leukemia. The family had already been rocked by cancer. Weeks before Lomboit Lo was diagnosed, her grandfather had died from colon cancer. Her parents were open and honest with her about the disease. They told her she had something called cancer. They told her she needed chemotherapy. They said she had a 50% chance of surviving the first year. And she received an assignment from her super amazing doctor, as she calls him. He told me that I was in charge of my attitude, she says. So I had to take part in my treatment by how I acted and how I thought and having a positive attitude. That was my job. It wasn't easy. She was in and out of the hospital and took daily oral chemotherapy medications. Today, kids typically receive anesthesia for painful procedures. She was awake for spinal taps and agonizing bone marrow aspirations. Every month, for 1 week, she'd receive chemo cocktails, part of a successful clinical trial for a regimen that is still used today. Unlike her then 50-50 odds of survival, kids today have a 90% chance of beating the disease. The chemo caused nausea, but she developed coping mechanisms during her treatment. She would visualize Pac-Man eating the bad cells. She attended camps and continued swimming until she felt too ill. She even looked forward to the hospital trips because her friends there faced the same challenges. I was still going to school, but I couldn't do all the things that the other kids were doing, she says. I wasn't different at the hospital. We all knew how many cc's of chemo we needed that day. We knew our antibiotics, we knew the medications, we knew the dosages. I always knew when I had pneumonia. I knew the feeling of it inside. At age 9, when she finally finished treatment, she wanted to give back. Despite her young age, she began speaking and raising money for cancer charities. I wanted to share my story, because in 1983, leukemia was pretty much a death sentence, she says. Only a handful of us were surviving. So to have a survivor speak at these events, it was special for them to see where their funds were going. Her story influenced those close to her as well. In high school, she met her future husband, Tom. He knew he wanted to be a doctor, and inspired by his future wife, he eventually became an oncologist. Lomboit Lo received a swimming scholarship from the University of California, Irvine, and graduated with a degree in sociology. She had also studied acting, and after college she became an underwater body double on shows such as Baywatch, while helping support Tom through medical school. Following the birth of their first son, she became a talent agent, but she dreamed of writing a book. Her niece, meanwhile, was recovering from the death of her father. Bateman returned to California from New York City, where she'd attended Columbia University and worked in marketing, to help support her mom. She learned about her aunt's aspirations and dreams and wanted to participate. They collaborated on a photography book called Beyond Remission, featuring portraits of cancer survivors with a quote about their lessons and experiences. When you first get sick, you're given these big, heavy books to read, so I thought, if we had inspirational quotes and a face so they could see what a survivor looks like, it would be an incredible resource for people, Lomboid Lowe says. After working with a literary agent for Beyond Remission, they decided they could publish future books on their own. The duo founded Luna Peak, which not only publishes books, but hosts workshops on cancer and grief. She's a brainiac, Lomboy Lois says of her niece. The two are more like sisters. They're only 12 years apart. She's so organized, and she knows how to get things done. I'm more of a creative. I have a million ideas, but I don't know how to channel them. So she helps me do that. I wouldn't have known where to start. But as Bateman quickly notes, Lomboy Lowe's formidable presence and life experiences are the drivers behind Luna Peak's success. She brings a little bit of magic into every room she's in, Bateman says. She changes the energy. If you were stranded, if you were in a worst-case scenario situation, you'd want to have her on your side. She's been able to add not just a good attitude, but also humor to dark spaces like cancer and grief. That's something that she definitely helped me with. When I was deep in the trenches of grief after losing my dad, she was able to pull me out a bit. Lomboy Lowe focuses mainly on cancer, and Bateman heads the grief projects, though they cross lines often, Lomboy Lowe says. The books are mostly children's books, and as the child of a Filipino father and Italian mother, she wanted them to be multicultural. Cancer doesn't care about your background or how much money you make or where you're from, she says. It's everywhere. So I wanted kids of all kinds to see themselves. She witnessed the power of this inclusiveness at the Loma Linda Children's Hospital in California when she read Follow Me, Cancer Free, to a group of 4 to 10-year-old cancer patients. There was a little girl named Zoe, and she saw a little brown, bald-headed girl in the book, and she was like, "That's me," Lomboy Lowe recalls. And then she saw another girl with curly hair, and she's like, "That's you." It was a full circle moment. She gets to see the beginning of the book where the kid is bald, and then she's growing hair, which is symbolic for many cancer patients. As Lomboy Lowe approaches 50, she carefully monitors her health, from regular mammograms to blood tests. Of her childhood friends at the hospital, only 2, including Lomboy Lowe, avoided a second bout with the disease. Now that she's a mom, she worries about her 3 sons, aged 20, 16, and 14. Every bump, every fever, if I see a lymph node, if they're lethargic, I'm always worried, she says. Anxiety is a big part of my life, for sure. I don't let it consume me, but it is definitely a side effect of having cancer. I've learned that the parents often seem to be suffering more than the kids who are going through the treatment, which sounds crazy, but now, as a parent, I see it. I see what my parents went through. Your kids are your heart outside of your body, and you want to protect them at all costs. Most of my interactions are with parents or older siblings, and when they see me, or anyone that has survived as a child and now is an adult, and they're thriving, having a good life, it's a good example of what they can have. A lot of parents will tear up because they don't have a chance to cry in front of their kids. We get a lot of hugs behind walls and behind doors. And so she keeps working, keeps helping, keeps giving. The efforts have not gone unnoticed. The Los Angeles County Commission for Women named Lomboy Lowe one of its 2025 Women of the Year. And she and Bateman hope to expand Luna Peak's impact in the coming years. They want to add office space to host more workshops and provide a library for children and families. They also want to host summer camps for survivors. But Lomboy Lowe's impact comes not only from doing, but from being. Her survival inspires courage in others. For their photo and quote book, Beyond Remission, Lomboy Lowe wasn't just an author. She also appeared on the pages as a survivor. Her advice? Life has hit me with a lot of waves, but I just keep swimming. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to navigating a cancer diagnosis. You get to decide for yourself. I choose hope. Ken Budd has written for the Washington Post Magazine, The Atlantic, and many more. He is the author of award-winning memoir, The Volunteerist, and a host of the literary podcast, Upstart Crow. And now another article from the Saturday Evening Post. Data breaches on the rise. What you can do to protect your personal information by Steve Weissman. Companies have always been vulnerable to direct data breaches through a computer network hack. But Verizon's 2025 Data Breach Investigations Report highlighted the danger posed by supply chain attacks where the cybercriminal hacks into a third-party vendor, such as a software vendor or other service provider, to gain access to the target's company's network. In 2024, the number of supply chain attacks doubled. Examples of such attacks were the recent data breaches at Stellantis, TransUnion, Allianz Life, Pandora, Chanel, Dior, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany, Parmers Insurance, and Qantas, all of which were a result of supply chain attack at Salesforce, a cloud-based customer relationship management company. When it comes to a data breach, it's a matter of when, not if. So, what can you do to protect yourself? Don't leave your credit card on file with any online retailer for convenience sake. Input your credit card each time you make a purchase. Never use your debit card for online purchases because it does not provide the same fraud protection that you get with your credit card. Don't provide your social security number to any company that asks for it unless legally required. Your doctor has no need for it, so whenever possible, refuse to provide it. Freeze your credit. It's easy to do and protects you from scammers using your personal information to obtain loans, open bank accounts, acquire credit cards, or make large purchases, even if they have your social security number. Monitor your credit reports regularly for indications of identity theft. The three major credit reporting agencies now provide free weekly access to your credit reports at annualcreditreport.com. Some scammers have websites that appear to offer free credit reports, but if you read the fine print, you may find that you have signed up for unnecessary services. Be wary of anyone who calls you purporting to help you in regard to a data breach and who asks for personal information. Limit providing your cell phone number to people and companies as much as you can. Many people don't realize their phone number should be kept as private as possible. Cybercriminals can type your phone number into commonly available databases such as White Pages Premium and find personal information, such as your address, names, and addresses of your family members, and more. They can also use the number to access your social media accounts and can, most significantly, use the information to answer security questions, which could lead to gaining control over your phone. Consider getting a second phone to use for online transactions. You can also use apps such as Google Voice or Burner that will enable you to create different numbers. Never click on a link or download an attachment to an email or text message. And don't provide personal information in response to an email, text message, or phone call unless you have absolutely confirmed that the communication is legitimate. That was Data Breaches on the Rise by Steve Weissman. Steve Weissman is a lawyer, college professor, author, and one of the country's leading experts in cybersecurity, identity theft, and scams. And now to finish up, we'll go back to the Reader's Digest and touch on laughter, the best medicine. To bide their time on a long train trip, three priests agree to share their darkest secrets. Once a month, says the first priest, I go on a bender and get blind drunk. I've gotten into gambling online, admits the second priest. Worse yet, I use Sunday collection plate donations to fund my bets. And you, the first priest says to the third, what's your chief vice? Me, says the third priest, I'm an inveterate gossip. Submitted by Gary Katz from Long Grove, Illinois. When a wealthy businessman began to choke on a fishbone at a restaurant, a doctor seated nearby sprang up, performed the Heimlich maneuver, and saved his life. Thank you, said the businessman. Please, I insist on paying you. Just name the fee. Okay, said the doctor. How about half of what you would have offered when the bone was still stuck in your throat? And that was from factmedicine.com. The worst job I ever had was as a forensic pathologist for the United Nations. I remember uncovering the mass grave of 1,000 snowmen. Fortunately, it turned out to be just a field full of carrots. From comedian Milton Jones. A fisherman shouted out to a man wading in the water, can I rent a boat on this lake? Yes, the waiter yelled back. They're $10 or $25 an hour. Would you recommend the $10 boat? Absolutely not. I'm standing in one. Submitted by Gene Newman from Parsippany, New Jersey. And now we have run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest. Today's program is supported by the Durham Lions Club. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Diane Edelman, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reader's Digest is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.